I don't know about you, but when I'm angry with someone, I have a difficult time referring to them by their personal name, thinking that somehow that might legitimize their bad behavior toward me. Instead, I'll use pronouns and derogatory terms that reveal my disrespect for the individual. While I ought to, well, not Naomi. She used the term Lord, which when translated back to the Hebrew means I am or Yahweh. That is the most respected, honored, and revered personal name of God. The name God gave Himself when He revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. The name God used for Himself when Moses finally mustered up the courage and asked, "Well, what shall I say when they ask me, who sent me?" God responded, "I am sent me to you. This is my name, Lahsoon." Boaz is the son of Rahab who hid the Israelite spies when they first came to Jericho. We witness Naomi honoring God with His preferred name, despite the trials and the tribulations that He has allowed her to go through. This fact alone should give us pause, challenge our own personal faith at the deepest level. It should cause us to ask the all-important question, will we continue to honor the great I am when hardships and trials and persecutions enter our life? Or will we turn our backs on God, believing He no longer deserves our honor, our respect, our love? Well, we see Naomi's answer. And I'm reminded of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:8 concerning his own experience with trouble and persecution and hardship. He said, "We are hard-pressed on every side," Paul says, "but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." We always carry around the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. So Naomi speaks of God as Yahweh. She also speaks of God as Shaddai. When we read Naomi's words, "The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me," we can translate Almighty to Shaddai. That term might be familiar to some people of you, especially you older Christians who kind of are in the contemporary Christian. You know who one of the first contemporary Christian music people out there were, singers? Amy Grant. Remember Amy Grant? She sang a song about El Shaddai. But you know, Amy Grant, you know, I don't know why she used that word. She wanted to honor the Lord, I'm sure, but it probably, that word at that time sounded novel to the English ears. We didn't really hear that too much. But Naomi uses it to speak of God's irresistible and unyielding power. In other words, when God determines that bitterness is going to enter Naomi's life, there is no other possibility that could happen. It was a done deal. Nothing or nobody could thwart the powerful hand of God. In this name for God, we hear the prophet Isaiah say, "For the Lord Almighty," he uses the word Shaddai, "He has purposed this. Who can thwart Him? His hand is stretched out. Who can turn it back?" It's a done deal. It's a sealed deal. The bottom line in all this, that God's power, God's person, are inextricably linked to the life of Naomi, whether she likes it or not. He led her away from her hometown, led her away from a famine to preserve her life, to feed her family. Now, to some folks, leaving the promised land, that was simply out of the question. They wouldn't do that. That was taboo. You weren't going to do that. But we learn that God of the Bible, whom we choose to serve, whom Naomi chose to serve, is not confined to national boundaries. He can be worshipped in Moab as readily and as easily as He can be worshipped in Bethlehem. This is the big reason why Naomi could say to Ruth and Orpah, could say to them, you know, it's okay. You can go back to your people. Because she was confident that Yahweh could still go with her, with them. She served a God without borders. And she blessed them to that end, didn't she? She said, may Yahweh show kindness to you. May Yahweh grant that each of you will find rest with another husband. That reminds me of another incident in the Bible. Remember the woman at the well? She came up and asked Jesus, and her started conversing. She asked Jesus a question. She says, where can we worship the Lord? Some say we have to worship on the mountain. Some say we have to worship in Jerusalem. What do you say? And Jesus said to her, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Well, I'm going to close my sermon here real quickly, but I have yet to speak about Ruth and Orpah here, really. This whole thing, I'm talking about Naomi. Now, it's an easy exercise for us, if you've ever read the book of Ruth before. We like to place Ruth and Orpah kind of at odds with each other, don't we? We can make each one of them an example. Ruth is the classic expression of loyalty and devotion. We could say that about her. Orpah, on the other hand, we could say, and I'm not saying it's correct, a lot of people do, well, she's an example of weak character and flimsy devotion. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we should not disparage Orpah at all and her decision. The fact is, and it was pointed out by one scholar that said, the same cause that induced Orpah to go to her family is the same that caused Ruth to stay. And that was out of love for Naomi. Now think about that for a second. Orpah displayed submissive obedience to her mother-in-law. She accepted Naomi's counsel, and in so doing, honored and loved her. This is a good reminder for all of us that obedience is a virtue never to be overlooked. After all, the Lord himself said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And John records Jesus saying, if anybody loves me, he will obey my teaching. That's what Orpah was doing. We may feel in our hearts that Ruth's decision to stay with Naomi showed more imagination and deeper love. But let's not be so quick to blame Orpah. She left because she wanted to be a wife again. Ruth stayed because she wanted to remain a daughter. Both of these desires are acceptable before the Lord. And the decision these women made need not be set against each other, which they are sometimes done. Let me say one final thing as I close the book of Ruth chapter 1. And that is this. We are never as empty as we think we are. We are never as empty as we think we are. In saying this, I'm not trying to minimize Naomi's loss. Losing three family members in a brief span of time would completely be devastating. Losing just one close personal friend or family member can be severely excruciating and debilitating. And though we feel completely wrung out and exposed and stripped of any and all good things, we are never completely abandoned, even though every fiber of our body is telling us otherwise. When Naomi said, I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty, we're quick to focus on the empty part And we blindly skip over the key that it was the Lord who brought Naomi back. As much as she liked to say it, as much as she liked to believe it, that she came back empty-handed, she did not. She came back with Ruth clinging to her side. A young woman who had professed her undying pledge of faithfulness and loyalty to the one who so desperately needed it, Naomi. And here's the kicker. Ruth is the personification of Christ's redeeming love for us. That when it is once recognized, when it is accepted and received, it becomes our salvation. And in Naomi's life and transformation, we see the potential of our own life's transformation. Of one who leaves full, perhaps not necessarily full of wrong things, but certainly not full of God. If we look at our lives, we can say they are quite full. But are they full of God? So these things, which we so desperately cling to because they give us a sense of security and meaning and purpose, guess what? They can be methodically and systematically stripped away from us by God so that there was finally room for God to work in our life, to do His transformative and miraculous work. So that it can be said of us, just as it is said of Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not been left without a kinsman redeemer. That's what it said later in the end of the book of Ruth. He will renew your life. He will sustain you in your old age. That was the blessing that Naomi received. Emptiness, it's not the final chapter for us. It's not our final chapter. Emptiness actually is our mourning. It's our opportunity to be filled with God. Paul writes in Colossians, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in the bodily form. You have been given the fullness of Christ." Just a reminder before we close. Church, after church today, at Fellowship Hour, we're having our Operation Christmas Child preparing those shoeboxes. Please hang around for that. I believe there will be some lunch provided for the workers. If I'm not mistaken. Is that a yes out there? I believe so. We're going to try a closing hymn. Hymn number 265.